ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This is our 26th prophecy update. It's hard to believe we've had so many. I don't know about you, but over the last 26 years, I think things have changed a lot in regard to Bible prophecy. I mean, years ago, there would be something here and something there related to Bible prophecy. But today, things are happening so quickly, it's hard to keep up with all that's going on in the world and how it relates to Bible prophecy. I had to finally make a cutoff. Okay, I can't take any more information. Thank you guys for sending it. I appreciate it. But, you know, we're going to be here till 2022 if you keep giving me information like this. We got to end it somewhere. And I don't know about you, but, you know, when you look back over 2020, what a crazy year. I mean, it really is. But, you know, I think so many times as Christians we can get real negative about it. But I saw so many things that God was doing through all that. And that's exciting to me. You know, I've called our study tonight A Thief in the Night. And the reason for that is I believe that there are many in the church today that are totally unaware of what's going on around them. They either, you know, don't care or they're afraid to know what's happening. And they just don't want to be bothered with it. But we are to be ready. We're to be watching for the Lord. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. When I see these things come into pass, I am totally blown away. It is so exciting. When I first got saved, Bible prophecy was a big thing for me. It's all that I focused on pretty much. And there wasn't that much out there. Today, again, like I said, it's hard to keep up with. The Lord is coming back. And here's the thing, you know, people say, well, you know, I don't want to be bothered with that. This is important. Didn't Jesus hold the Jewish people accountable for not knowing the day of his first visitation? He absolutely did. In Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, we're told, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Why? Because you did not know the time of your visitation. You think, well, how could they know? Because the scriptures were telling them of the coming Messiah, what he was to do, heal the sick, raise the dead, and so on. But they didn't see this in Jesus because they didn't want to see it in Jesus. The prophet Daniel even spoke of the exact day the Messiah was to ride through Jerusalem as Messiah the King. The only time Jesus allowed the people to honor him as Messiah the King. And we call it Palm Sunday. And even if they didn't know the exact date, they would know the time frame. They knew the season. And again, I see today where Christians are just going around doing their own thing. They're not being prepared to meet their king. And I believe it's wrong. If Jesus held the Jewish people accountable for not knowing the time of his first coming, with over 300 prophecies related to that, how much more will he hold us accountable for not knowing the season of his second coming when there's over 500 prophecies related to it? And I think Jesus wants to know of the seasons of his coming. And we don't want to see him coming as a thief in the night. We don't want to be unprepared. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, put it like this. He said, but concerning the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. And this is pretty much what Paul is saying here. He's saying, you know, whether we're talking about the general time or a specific moment, brethren, I don't have to write to you about this again. I don't know the exact time because, as I've already told you, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, suddenly, without warning, starting really with the rapture. And that really is the next big thing on the prophetic time clock. The biggest point is that the Jews came back into the land of Israel. That really started things moving along. They needed to be in the land of Israel. In fact, prior to 1948, there were a lot of Christian teachers who said this is an impossible thing. This has to be symbolic of the church or something. This can't be speaking of Israel because there is no way they're coming back in the land again. And they had to change their story in 1948 because the Bible was correct in exactly what it said. Now, in that section in Thessalonians, Paul opens up the chapter and he speaks of you, and he's speaking to believers in Thessalonica. But then Paul says they, and he's not speaking to believers anymore. He's speaking about the unsaved. It's when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction is going to come upon them. Why is that important? Because I believe the church is not here. It will be caught up prior to the start of the 7-year tribulation period. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. And as the church age comes to an end, God deals with the nation of Israel once again, and he finishes that last 7-year period of time that he spoke of in Daniel chapter 9. 77-year periods of time were determined upon the nation of Israel. 69 of those 7-year periods have been completed. Now we have that last 7 year that God is going to finish with Israel. And also during the tribulation period, God is going to pour out his wrath on a Christ-rejecting world. His judgment's going to be poured out. So with that said, kind of as an introduction, what I'd like to do this evening is look at some of the things that are happening in this world and see how they relate to Bible prophecy. And I think you'll clearly see that things are moving very, very quickly towards what the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble or the 7-year tribulation period. Now, one more point before we look at what's going on in the world, and that's all the information we're being bombarded with. There is so much information out there, you can never read all of it. It's impossible. And there's some truth, and there's some lies. They're all mixed together, and there's a good reason for that. It causes confusion. It causes doubt. After you've been fooled several times, and it moves you away from what's really happening and really what the Lord has said about it. Let me just share this article real quickly with you. Several years ago, during a Christian leaders conference, the speaker for one particular session covered the topic of discerning truth from falsehood. And to illustrate a particular point, he asked those in the room to turn around and, from where they were seated, tell them whether the flowers in the vase at the back corner of the room were real or artificial. And they did this. After a brief pause, each person formed his opinion. I think they're real. No, they're not. Yes, they are. And it went on. And the speaker said, you know, I think I've made my point. The truth of the matter, as the speaker went on to outline, was that the vase contained some flowers that were real, but these were mixed with others that were completely artificial. And in the varied response of the conference delegates, two things were apparent. Each person came to opinion based on a judgment of the particular flower in which his eyes first fell, and each person assumed that all the other flowers were of the same kind. So part of the lesson, which the speaker very aptly illustrated, was that we're all prone to focus on what is a small element of a bigger picture or situation. And we got to be careful. We have to make sure what we're speaking forth is truth. And it's really hard today. And think about it. You know, with all the social media, we go on, when we place on social media something that down the road becomes It's false. It's not true. And we keep doing that, and people go, well, why should I believe anything you're saying? We got to be careful. One thing I keep telling the people here at Calvary is there's one thing that's truth, and that's God's word, 100% of the time. I'm not saying we can't look at other things, but we got to be careful that we've looked to make sure that what we're bringing forth is truth. So the first thing we're going to look at tonight is one world government and what the Bible has to say. And Daniel speaks in the Old Testament of this world government. We see it also in Revelation. But in Daniel chapter 2, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, has a dream and no one's able to explain it. And Daniel comes forward and tells the king that the God he serves is going to answer him about this dream. He's going to tell him what it means. And it was this multi-metallic image. And it represented the kingdoms of the world, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, the head of gold. From there, we moved to the chest and arms of silver, and it was the Medo-Persian Empire. The Medo-Persian Empire was destroyed by the belly and thighs of silver, or the Grecian Empire. And the Grecian Empire was destroyed by the Roman Empire, who really wasn't destroyed, but they kind of fell apart. They rotted from the inside, you might say, and they represented the legs of iron. Now, that Roman Empire is going to be revived in the last days, and I believe we're seeing it happen before our eyes. And interestingly enough, on this image that the king of Babylon saw, this last kingdom is made of iron and clay, or was partly strong and was partly weak. It wasn't like the Roman Empire with the legs of iron. And I believe it's because it's mixed with people from all over the world, kingdoms from all over the world. And it's during this time of these kings who are ruling over these kingdoms that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it destroyed all these kingdoms. And that's Jesus Christ coming back at the end of the tribulation period. And Daniel says this dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. We can count on it. We could take it to the bank. And, you know, when I first started talking about one world government some 35, 36 years ago, people thought I was crazy. Hey, come on, that's just conspiracy theories, you know, you're nuts. Today, not so much. People are talking about it all the time. But there are still those out there, like Wikipedia. They talk about a one world government conspiracy. And, you know, if it's in Wikipedia, it's true, right? But this is what they had to say. I find it interesting. The New World Order is a conspiracy theory which hypothesizes a secretly emerging totalitarian world government. The common theme in conspiracy theories about a New World Order is that a secretive power elite with a globalist agenda is conspiring to eventually rule the world through an authoritarian world government, which will replace sovereign nation states and an all-encompassing propaganda whose ideology hails the establishment of the New World Order as the culmination of history's progress. Exactly, right? That's exactly what's going on. It's not a conspiracy theory, not at all. You just listen to the leaders in this world and what they're saying about the New World Order, and I'll share some. Some go back pretty far. And they're planning this. All you have to listen to is what the Pope is saying about the New World Order. But again, no matter what people say, it's going to come to pass. Whether they want it or not, it's happening right before our eyes. It was a secret before, but now they're speaking openly about this. Let me share this video from the mayor of Chicago. It's about a couple minutes. Lori Lightfoot. What she says about the New World Order, okay? I don't agree with the person who's overseeing this video because he calls her a name, and I don't think that's appropriate because she's part of the government. We're to respect those who are in government. But listen to what she says.
Listen to Lizard Lightfoot. And what I want to pinpoint and focus on is what she says at the very end. It's going to take about 50 seconds to get there, but the buildup is worth the wait. Listen to this.
How you do it, my thoughts are, because it's not written into law, it's just a very dominant culture. I think the only way you can do it is a couple ways. One, I'm thinking about an executive order from day one that says you know, in more legalese than this is not a thing. We will not no longer honor this, because the way that alternative prerogative works is there's got to be compliance with the executive branch, because otherwise it doesn't work. So you got to eliminate that compliance, and you make it a mandate, and then you do training, particularly in the city.
Eliminate compliance? I think that was a misspeak, because all tyrants want you to comply or die.
I'll call them licensing departments, whether it's zoning, buildings, housing will be impacted by it, planning certainly, and you pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the new world order and good governance.
Are you totally deranged?
And then I think you have the Inspector General do some spot audits to make sure that there is real compliance.
Pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the new world order and good governments, and then conduct spot audits to make sure there's real compliance. Real compliance with what, Lizard Lightfoot? Real compliance with the new world order. Guys, they're not even hiding this stuff anymore.
There is a lot of stuff out there, and a lot of them are saying it was taken out of context, that she didn't mean the new world order when she said new world order. But this is what the Chicago Tribune had to say. You pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the new world order and good governance, Lightfoot said. Social media users are sharing an edited one-minute video clip of that comment to suggest she's talking about trying to overthrow the government with the new world order. Other social media posts share a screenshot of her quote to make the misleading claim. Well, what does she mean by pledging the allegiance to the new world order? I mean, I don't know how you can get around that. An executive order, we're going to now make this allegiance to the new world order. I think she knew exactly what she's talking about. Interesting choice of words. And if there's nothing else out there, I'd have to say, well, okay, if this is the only person who said something like this, I'd have to agree, maybe we're taking it out of context, but not at all. This is from the Internationalist and International Institutions and Global Governance Program, and the article is called An Open World is in the Balance and on the Ballot. And I just want to share with you what they have to say about our election. What's in the balance, okay? Our elections, we still don't know what's going on, but I don't want to get into that. But this is what the article said. As Americans cast their ballots Tuesday, and indeed for the millions who already have, they are voting for the future, not just for their own country, but of the open world that the United States helped create. A distinctive element of this global order, particularly since the fall of the Berlin Wall, has been the removal of many restrictions on cross-border flows of goods, money, ideas, and even people. Under every American president since the Cold War, until Donald Trump, the United States championed global integration as a motor of prosperity, a bulwark of peace, and at least implicitly a source of solidarity. It is that open world that is on the ropes today, thanks to disillusionment with globalization. Trump's America First policies and more recently the COVID-19 pandemic, which has dramatically curtailed cross-border exchanges. So Trump is not a globalist. Praise God, right? Thank God he's not a globalist. And this election was so critical to the progressives or the socialists who want to unite this world into a new world order. And Donald Trump has stopped that. He's a patriot. He stands for the American people. But it's not what the New World Order wants, and they're doing everything possible to stop it. And if, you know, you didn't see this coming, you're burying your head in the sand. Again, listen to these quotes. These are from well-known people from really around the world. George Bush, 1990. The Persian Gulf crisis is a rare opportunity to forge new bonds with old enemies, the Soviet Union. Out of these troubled times, a new world order can merge under United Nations that performs as envisioned by its founders. So we want the United Nations to control this new world order. Interesting. 32 senators. Two centuries ago, our forefathers, and this is from 1976, brought forth a new nation. Now we must join with others to bring forth what? A new world order. Isn't that an interesting phrase that people keep repeating? This is from Henry Kissinger, 1992. Today, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order, referring to the 1991 LA riot. Yeah, they would be. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, extraterrestrial invasion, whether real or promulgated, that threaten our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. You hear what he's saying? There is going to be some kind of catastrophe, some kind of thing that's going to happen. It could be many different things. And the people will plead, you can have our freedom, but save us. We'll do anything. Wow. Wow. Mikhail Gorbachev, 1988. Further global progress is now possible only through a quest for universal consensus in the movement towards a what? A new world order. These guys, unbelievable. They keep saying the same thing, right? David Rockefeller, 1991. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promise of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in the past centuries. Isn't that interesting? You guys, thank you for being quiet, that you didn't speak out about this, but now we've got control. You can say whatever you want. That was in 1991. Again, David Rockefeller. We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major what? Oh, crisis! And the nations will accept the new world order. Every time there's a crisis, guys, watch what our government does. They'll take away more and more of our freedom. It's just what happens. Richard Gardner, this is from 1974. In short, the house of world order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down. It will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion. To use William James's famous description of reality, but an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. I think they've already done that. Now it's a frontal assault. Now it doesn't matter. I mean, if you watched when San Francisco, when they had a Democratic meeting, they called themselves socialist. We are socialist. The Democratic Party is a socialist party. Isn't that interesting? So they're not hiding this stuff anymore. It's very, very blatant. 1931, Professor Arnold Toynbee. We are at present working discreetly with all our might to wrest this mysterious force called sovereignty out of the clutches of the local nation states of the world. That's exactly what Donald Trump hasn't done. He's kept us as a sovereign nation. He's a patriot. He's for America. The others are not. That was 1931. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the elections, but I'll give you a hint. How does Joe Biden feel about the New World Order. Did you ever think about that? Is he for it or against it? We don't have to even guess, right? 1992, Wall Street Journal article, How I Learned to Love the New World Order. Wow. Again, that phrase over and over. This is something that's been going on, guys. We shouldn't be surprised by it. We're quickly moving towards a one world government. And it's just as God has said in his word. These guys think they're in control. God's already told us what's going to happen. Now, I kind of shared this at previous conferences, but I want to lay some groundwork for those of you who are new, because this didn't start in the last 20 or 30 years, as you've seen. It's been going on for a long time.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.